All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of James tonight, chapter 3. I didn't want to start a new series tonight because, as Keith had mentioned earlier, as our custom, with so much coming up in July, we typically suspend the Wednesday night services, though there's a lot of activity going on usually on Wednesdays, preparing for the upcoming Bible school and such. So I thought I'd look at a passage that had been on my mind actually since Sunday. When I was preaching Father's Day, I thought it challenged my own heart because understanding the need I have for wisdom in terms of being a father, and I'm not going to speak on fathers tonight, but I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about wisdom and how important it is and how we need to do all we can, as Solomon said, to get wisdom or incline our hearts to wisdom. So my subject is tonight a question that James asked in this epistle. He said, who is wise? Who is wise? Now before I read the text, I want to ask you, when I say who is wise, who are the people that come to your mind? I thought about asking you to do this just for fun. You don't have to show it to me or anybody else. But if you were to make a list of three people that you would consider these are wise people, man or woman, this is who I believe is wise, who has wisdom. Could you list three people that you know? I'm talking about that you interact with, that are in your circle of friends or your world that you live in. Could you list them? And then I thought at the end of the service, or when I'm finished the message, you could go back and look at your list and say the people that you said these are wise people. But after we've examined the scriptures, if you still say, yes, indeed, they're wise. Do they make the cut, so to speak? Do they hold up under the forensics of scripture? Who is wise? Is the question James is going to ask in just a moment. And we're going to try to look at who he believes, or the scripture, of course, is divine revelation. So who God says are the wise. Let's begin our reading in James 3, verse 13. We'll read five verses. The word of our Lord says, who is a wise man? There's our question. And endued with knowledge among you. And when James asked that question, of course, James is writing not to a local church. He's writing to Jewish believers primarily that had been scattered in because of the persecution that took place in Rome. And, of course, Gentiles would receive. It's a letter for all believers, but that's who his target audience is. And so he asked the question, said, who's a wise man among you? Who is endued with knowledge? That word is empowered or gifted with knowledge. He said this person should show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But he says this, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom that descendeth not from above, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Who is wise among us? James says a wise person practices good behavior. They live a life that mirrors their faith. For example, James, the writer of this book, most believe the brother of our Lord, or the half-brother of our Lord, they called him James the Just. And he was known for a very ascetic lifestyle. He lived a very circumspect life. He's one of the few that are known in Scripture that never left Jerusalem. The apostles trusted him with the Jerusalem church, and he has been said to be the pastor of that church. And so he, all of his ministry was confined there. But they had a nickname for him, a couple actually. They called him Camel Knees because he spent so much time on his knees praying. But they also called him James the Just because of his circumspect life. James believed that you should live what you claim you believe. And so he did. Some historians say that they believe that he was a Nazarite from his birth. They never cut his hair, never drank liquor of any kind, never even had so much as a dried raisin. That goes from the fruit of the vine, as the Nazarite vow declared. And so he was a very, very consecrated man. And so for him to say to us, let him show it out of a good conversation. He's got a lot of credibility. You know, he's got a lot of, carries a lot of weight when James says it, because he was known by his peers as James the Just, living a life of integrity, a circumspect life. I like the way the Amplified Bible helps us with this verse 13. He says, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. Now, what he's saying here is he's not only living a circumspect life, but he's not doing it out of pride or reputation or recognition. He carries, or she carries, an unobtrusive kind of humility. There's nothing put on about this person. They're not putting out any effort at all to be humble. They do it with such ease. It's unobtrusive humility. Think about an athlete that's able to perform at a very high level, and they look they make it look so easy. I watch these golfers sometimes, and I see them take their short irons, and they hit them 150, 160 yards, and it looks to me like, if you know anything about golf, that the way they swing is just so relaxed and so... Ernie Els was one of my favorite golfers some years ago, and they called him the Big Easy. He could hit the ball a long way, but he made it look so easy. And that was his demeanor. He was easy. When I'm out there playing, I look like I'm trying to slay the course. Hacking it and beating my club. I mean, there's nothing easy about the way I do it. But this person James talks about, he has this unobtrusive humility. Or she does. When they're insulted, or they're overlooked, it's no bother. A.W. Tozer talked about such. He said, people that can really rest in their hearts are the people that know meekness and humility. He said, because that enables them to smile at insults or oversights and just trudge along. Unobtrusive humility. It's the proper attribute of true wisdom. They don't bang their own drum, or they don't call attention to themselves, nor do they pout when others don't recognize them. They just do what they do because of a great work that God has done in their heart by the power of His sanctifying grace. Who is wise among you? Who is intelligent? That word in the King James is endued with knowledge. Now, it's interesting. To be endued with knowledge, according to Vines and Strong's, it means to be empowered or gifted with wisdom and knowledge. One translation said, who's an expert? Who is one who is wise? They give sage advice, by the way, that was the way they translated that. They give sage advice, and they are expert. And of course, in this situation would be in the Scriptures. Now, I think I told you over the Christmas holidays, when I had some time to read, I purchased a book by R.C. Sproul that said, the name of the book was Everyone is a Theologian. And I would never make that claim, but I was interested in the way he addressed that and have great respect for his writings. So I ordered the book, and I spent a lot of time over the holidays reading the book. And I thought, everybody's a theologian? Dr. Sproul, are you sure about that? But on the first page, you know what he said? There's just good ones and bad ones. I said, okay, there I am. I understand where he's coming from. But he's saying we're all having a theology. Who is wise? Who has sage advice, a discerning spirit, and is considered gifted with knowledge to the level of expertise? That's a high standard. Leave it to James to present that to us. Now, he's going to give us, first of all, the characteristics of someone who is not wise. And I want to look at that first. Unwise person. They're known for what's called human wisdom. You know, Paul addressed these people. He said, God doesn't call many wise by this world. You know, people with the human wisdom or worldly wisdom, not necessarily wise by God's standards. But here he says in verses 14 through 16, he addresses that unwise person. It can't be, the person that is wise cannot be a person who has bitter envy and strife in their hearts. Glory not, lie not against the truth. That's not at all, James says, what I'm talking about. This wisdom descendeth not from above, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Let's break that down and look at that. There are several things he addresses there. First of all, he says, if you are a bitter person, you're not wise. If you have bitter envy in your heart. Now, the word bitter is interesting because it actually speaks to something that is pungent, sour, or unpleasant. Now, think about that a moment. You know, when you taste some lemon, I love lemons, but, you know, you taste them and they're pungent. They're real sour, tart, you know, and it can have too much of that is unpleasant. He says a bitter person is unpleasant. Their attitude is pungent. It is not something you want to be around. Not very long anyway. And then he says envying. Now envying here is the same word that is used sometimes for the word jealousy. Now that is a characteristic of someone who is not humble. James has already addressed the fact that we need humility. But he says this bitter person, this person who has this cynical, unpleasant, unsavory kind of an attitude, perhaps is really very jealous. That can be the root cause of their cynicism toward others. And their unpleasant personality that they display. So he says, who is wise? Not the bitter spirits. That's not wise. It's foolish. It is so foolish for us to be jealous of one another because really God has distributed the spiritual gifts according to sovereignty. Isn't that what he said? He has divided every man severally as he wills. And so we're taught not to be jealous of one another. We're taught to admire one another, appreciate one another. Because we all have things, you know, you can do things I certainly can't do. I might be able to do something you can't do. But hey, that's because we're a body. That's, you know, the hand doesn't do what the foot does and so forth. So jealousy's foolish and it's certainly unwise. A bitter spirit. And then he goes a little deeper. Turns the knife. He said, wisdom is not coming from a person who has a belligerent spirit. They're not just bitter, but there's a belligerent way about them. But if you have bitter envy, strife in your hearts. Now, this is not just a person who is cynical with their attitude and unpleasant to be around. But now they're involved in strife. That word comes from a word that means they have an ambition to seek recognition for themselves. Okay? Bitter envying, there's jealousy. And then strife comes and gets involved, and there's this kind of a ambitious, self-seeking rivalry that is created by the unwise. Now, another word here is it reflects on a party spirit. You know, in our country, we have two primary parties, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats. And what's sad sometimes is that and I think a two-party system can be helpful because you got the checks and balances and all of that stuff. And I'm going to get into the other parts of that that I could talk about, but not tonight. But the thing is, what I never can figure out is regardless of the issue, all the Democrats are going to vote on party lines. And all the Republicans are going to vote on party lines. And you would think, now, let's just say the House of Representatives, what, that's 435, right, in the House of Representatives? Okay, so you got 200-plus Democrats, they all believe this. And you have 200-plus Republicans, they all believe this. You know, there's nobody over here that agrees with that one over there, and there's no one over here that agrees with that one over there. I mean, it's always on party lines. That's division. And it lacks integrity because it's hard to believe that sometimes you can't look across the aisle and say, you know, the guy over there makes a good point. The lady over there makes a good point. You see what I'm saying? But now, this cynical person that James speaks of here, and this jealous person, they have this belligerent attitude. They have this ambition to promote themselves because they have a rivalry. They have a party spirit. They want praise for themselves, or recognition at least. And that's what the word belligerent means. It actually means aggressive or quarrelsome. See, this person's on the hunt. This person wants to make their unpleasant attitude known and all the reasons why. James says, not wise, not wise. A third thing James says is those who have a boastful spirit. And verse 14 continues, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. You don't need to be proud of that. Now, I don't know how we've come to a place, and I just mean generally speaking, you know, in our country and sometimes in churches, where people are proud of the fact that they have this kind of aggressive, pungent, unpleasant attitude. You know, we call it their conviction. But there's no meekness. There's no gentleness. There's no purity there, as James will mention in just a moment. So, to be boastful. Proverbs 27:2 said, let another man praise thee and not your own lips. That's wise. None of us wants to hear anyone talk about how great they are. Let somebody else do that for you, if indeed you are. The unwise person has a bitter spirit. They have a belligerent spirit, an aggressive kind of ambition to be known, and they're boastful. A third thing is a blind spirit. Now, here's what happens. You can see the progression. There's the bitter envy, jealousy's involved, okay? And then this jealous person is so cynical and so aggressive with it that they want their beliefs to be known, and regardless of who it hurts or who it doesn't help. And they have this boastful way about them, and they're proud of that. But they're blind to this. Watch this. If you have bitter envy, strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now this is a kind of, this is a person who's in denial. I mean, this person, their selfish ambition causes them to be jealous of others, but the jealousy that turns to bitterness causes them to put others down and build up themselves, but they don't realize that's what they're doing. But a wise, discerning person can look at that and they can see it happening all day long. You know what? They see that attitude. They see that divisiveness. They see that unpleasantness. They see that lack of grace that that person lives with. And it can be dangerous. But it is a blind kind of spirit in so much that often they don't realize that they're caught in that unwise trap. James gives us three primary sources. I'm not sure, did I put those on there? You got the earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's what he calls this wisdom from down here. That's the secular source. You know, that's, you'll see a lot of that in modern psychology and psychiatric help, even in the political spectrum. But that is not people that love God. They're complete, their minds are, they're humanistic and secular in their beliefs. And that's earthly. Sensual is a kind of wisdom that is about their feelings. James says, earthly, sensual, devilish. Now, sensual wisdom, in other words, is this person is moved by their emotions and how they feel about it. And I often run into this when I have people that, you know, challenge me on my sermons or beliefs on so much that's going on in our culture, you know, with the LGBTQ community. You know, they'll, you don't understand, you know, and you ask them, well, why do you believe it's okay? I'm telling you why I can't go along with it. Well, they know somebody that they love, and I understand that. Somebody that they care about. And their wisdom is sensual in, because it is driven completely from an emotional standpoint. It has no biblical foundation. That's not wise. It's actually dangerous. Because if God's word is not our guiding force or principle, then we're going to be like the people in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Every man can do what's right in their own eyes. Sensual wisdom. And then he says, the root of the matter is this is satanic. This is all instigated and driven by Satan himself. There's the root of human or worldly or unwise living. Secular, sensual, and satanic. That's the unwise person. That's how he describes them. But thank God he didn't leave us there. He's going to help us understand who those three people in your notes, what they hopefully possess. True wisdom or heavenly wisdom. What are the defining characteristics of that? Well, he gives us some basic characteristics of true wisdom. In verse 17, he says this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not affected by any biasness. It's not driven by emotion. It is pure. It's sincere. I've told you before, it's like the person at the market that's selling his products. He said, this is sincere product. It has no wax. It hasn't been, you know, covered. Nothing's been covered over. It's genuine. And it's peaceable. There's something about wisdom when God gives advice through any person that you may be receiving advice from, if it is God's wisdom, it has a peaceable way about it. It's not destructive. It's not cantankerous. It's not obtrusive. And then he said it's gentle. And there's compassion and love involved. And above all, it's easy to be entreated. What does that mean? The person receiving this kind of wisdom, this kind of sage advice, understands that this is genuine and it's easy to be compliant with. It kind of settles the question. It resolves the issue. Because there's something about that genuine, God-sent wisdom that brings peace and brings calm, and you comply. It's not destructive or divisive. It doesn't set one person against the other. It doesn't split a church. The basics of wisdom. And then he talks about the benevolence of true wisdom. Notice he says in verse 17, all these wonderful attributes. It's full of mercy. It has good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Benevolence. It has all of these wonderful virtues. And there's mercy involved. And it's not, as I said, biased to their own favor. And it's certainly not coming from a standpoint of hypocrisy. It's genuine. It's real. Wisdom's motivation is peace. Its moderation is gentleness. Its meditation, it's easy to be entreated. Finally, verse 18. Now, when we're wise, this is something that we want to, you want to be known for this. Particularly if you are involved in trying to minister, to help someone else through a difficulty, through a hardship. Verse 18 reminds us of something very, very important. It's a great principle right here. I forgot I had the Proverbs verse. Here's something to be, thank you, Todd. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, you're looking for a wise person, they're a soul winner. But the verse I wanted, you don't have 18, okay? Look at your scripture if you have it open. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. The wise are peacemakers, not troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Now, if you did dare to jot down some wise people, when you put what I call biblical forensics, when you examine them according to the scripture, are they wise or are they otherwise? We should listen to the wise. Blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit at the seat of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do they meditate both day and night. They shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of the water. They'll bring forth their fruit in their season, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. They're wise, not otherwise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful word of God that never fails. It's quick, it's powerful. It cuts to our hearts, it discerns our motive and exposes our intentions, but it's good for us, and we thank you for it. I pray you'd add your blessings to your word tonight and help all of us, Lord, as Solomon tells us, incline our hearts to wisdom. With all you're getting, get wisdom. It is the principal thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless. Good night.